All right, we are back, and this is Dan's last interview. We won't see him anymore. We're really sad because Dan is my favorite, and his name ends with a Z, just like me. But instead, we've got Kevin Gallo. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
How do you get ready for keynotes? I mean, I bet it's kind of a stressful thing.
Yeah, it's definitely stressful. You want to make sure that the demos look great and that you basically get the message across of what you're trying to tell. And you want to do it in the shortest number of words possible.
So, more demo, less words, maybe?
I love demo. I think demo is a key. And so, yeah, if you notice, mine was short words, hang out in the demos, show nice. Code as much as you can. You know, that's to me the best
way.
So
let's talk a little bit about some of the main key points that you sort of exposed during your demos, during your talk.
Okay. So the first thing is I showed, you know, Continuum, I think, for phone, which really, I think, explains to people a lot of the reasons why we talk about this one package and building a universal application. Because now, not only can you, on a desktop, you have an adaptive UI, maybe reuse it, but when you're running on your phone, you can now light up that desktop experience when you attach a larger screen. If you have a mouse or keyboard, even on the phone, you can go use those devices, you can use those peripherals and get that desktop-like experience.
And that's amazing. You're just hooking your phone up?
Yep.
And it becomes your mouse?
Yep. And so basically, you don't even have to do it wired. We did it wired because it's much more reliable.
Sure.
But you can do it wirelessly with Miracast as well. And then it will just basically broadcast to that screen. And then we'll take the UI that you've designed for your desktop and have that UI there.
That's pretty remarkable because, I mean, a lot of the work when I'm traveling is mostly emails and writing, which your phone can handle.
Absolutely.
And if it's a universal Windows platform app, mm-hmm. that means that as soon as it gets to that screen, it's going to scale properly if you
yep.
build it right.
Yep, and most people are. They're going to build the apps. They use our default controls. They do it automatically. You know, there's no extra work. You know, you need to pick, you know, if you want to do some adjustments to the layouts.
Right.
But in general, it's like you take like 3-click points, you rearrange it with a grid layout. It really is that simple for most of those, you know, simple data view, you know, UIs. I mean, there are sometimes you build complex ones.
Yeah.
And you can customize. Some people think, oh, one UI to rule them all. No.
No.
You can build a UI that's good for small, and you can build a UI that's great for large, and they can be custom. And we still will pick the UI for the size of screen. Because inside of your application, you say, hey, here is the XAML that I want for the larger screen. Here's the XAML I want for the smaller screen. And we'll just pick the right UI and put it up on the, and project that to the display you have.
All right, some questions. We had this one earlier. When will Windows Phone receive the new Windows 10 OS?
It's coming soon. I don't have dates to announce, but it will come quite soon.
It's pretty remarkable that this the sort of the main essence of Windows 10 is working on our regular desktops and our phones, and then IoT as well.
And working on IoT. And what you've seen running on HoloLens is also the same Windows 10. And what you've seen on Xbox is also Windows 10.
So I've even missed a couple. Is the promise of UWP apps that you can build one thing and it should work on all of them? Is because you know when people talk about build once, you know, run everywhere, is that promise really fulfilled with Windows 10?
When I talk about the promise, it's really about the API set.
Got it.
It's also customizing the experience. Sure. The code will run. Will the experience be great? Well,
really.
If you broke the experience, it may not. You have to sometimes customize the experience. But the APIs are the same. So from a developer's point of view, if you use our standard controls, we'll make sure it works with gamepad, works with touch, mouse, keyboard, you know, coolness of HoloLens gesturing. You know, and so the default controls will do that. And you'll get most of that toolkit. But the APIs are all there. There are some specialized APIs. Like, you know, if you want to integrate with the shell of the desktop or do layered windowing, it doesn't exist in all systems.
Sure.
So developers should say, hey, if I'm on a layered windowing system, I want to be able to move some windows around, say, dock two windows together and display it, versus if you're on a phone, you tend to swap them.
So there's
some things that you can do differently if you choose, but the API set, so the real promise is it's one platform that you're targeting, and you can build an application that lights up on that platform, and then depending on what peripherals are attached, it can behave differently. But that's sometimes not attached to the same CPU. So with the phone, it's not my desktop CPU that's attached. It's my phone, and I want to get the other experience, and it can go generate that experience.
Awesome. So here's a question. We saw Continuum on Windows 10 and UWP. Do you think a Windows 10 phone will be able to substitute your computer eventually?
I think it will be able to do quite a bit that it does. I mean, obviously, if you're going to be a high-end gamer playing, you know, some of the most advanced games, the phone might be taxed and get a little hot.
Right.
But, you know, basically if you plug in your phone and you want to, and these phones are getting great CPUs on them, memory. You know, the biggest thing we find is the memory is not as high on the phone as it is on a PC.
So
memory intensive applications probably will struggle. But other than that, we've had great. I have it on my desktop today. I have my little phone. I plug it in, and I live in a lot of an office. When I use Office, it works great. You know, and there's a few things where I say, you know, my desktop probably will be a little bit better at it. But for general purpose productivity, it actually works pretty well.
That's awesome.
All right. It gets better every day.
Ira asks, what is Microsoft using in Windows 10, HTML5.js or XAML C++?
Most of our first-party applications are built in XAML with C++. There are a few in C# as well, especially now that we have C# native. It compiles down pretty much to the same code. But internally, we have a lot of people who know C++, so they tend to just choose that. We have a couple apps that are written in HTML JavaScript, but probably just more of, you know, the choice of the engineers and the fact that it does give you a much more complete Windows experience. Where with the JavaScript, what we've tried to do is make sure that we really cater to the JavaScript community, which wants to build cross-platform apps.
Sure.
A lot of times they won't have the Windows flavor to them, where anything built in XAML has really the Windows personality to it.
Got it. Another question. What is the relationship between UWP and Apache Cordova? What should we choose?
So it's kind of an odd question.
Yeah.
So when you use the Cordova toolkit to build an application, it produces a UWP, you know, or a UWA.
Yeah.
And so it produces one. So it's not that they're mutually exclusive. It's the technology, you have an IDE, it goes and it produces. Just like if you use Unity and you want to build a game, it will produce a UWA as well.
Right.
And so these are different IDEs. So if you think about it, we have our IDE, we have XAML, we have our, you know, JavaScript and HTML solution as well for Windows web apps. And, you know, that they produce UWAs. Other IDEs can go and produce UWAs for Windows, just like they would produce native packages for other platforms.
I see. So universal Windows platform application can be built using Apache Cordova.
Apache Cordova, Unity, Xamarin, a whole bunch of technologies.
All right, here's another question from Al. Apps on Xbox, when are we going to talk a little bit more about building apps for that?
So we've talked a little bit about it. We've definitely said the intention of going there. We have not announced dates for when we would start taking submissions or when you can dev unlock a box, but that'll be coming soon.
Would it be fair to say that if you're building a universal Windows platform application, you're well on your way?
Oh, absolutely. If you're building a universal application, it is going to be the same API set. That I will commit to you. It is not a different platform. Literally, we are running the same code on Xbox that we're running on a phone, that we're running on top of the desktop. You know, there's a slight differences. There'll be probably some, you know, little nuances on the Xbox. It has just a different underlying VM structure and the way that you'd integrate, you know, with the system a bit. Like, say, background audio, it has different policies.
Right.
But that's based on just the policy of the device. But the APIs will be the same.
So if you want to build an Xbox app, build a UWP app, and you're well on your way.
You are probably 90% there.
Awesome. All right. There is another question. Internally, with the advent of UWP apps, is WPF being considered abandoned for consumer applications?
I actually demoed on stage, you know, improvements that we're making to WPF as well. I would say is what we're seeing is there is definitely more momentum to building applications that go across multiple devices.
Right.
WPF at its core is a desktop technology. It's very large and, you know, very powerful and expressive, but it will not work across all of our devices. So that's really just us going and focusing a lot of our energy on these cross-device applications that we're building with UWP. Every time we invest in XAML, we're making sure that both WPF as well as Universal XAML have access to those features. Just like I talked about being able to do edit and continue, we'll make sure that works in WPF as well as it works in UWA.
It feels like, though, if you're going to start a new XAML application, and you want to have the greatest reach, you should go with UWP.
Absolutely. I mean, if you want maximal reach, UWP is going to give you maximal reach. It will help you cross all the devices. If you think about the fact that you want to light up the phone app and have it project to a desktop, same thing with the continuum for phone that we talked about, that's going to be a UWP.
Absolutely. All right. Here's another question. I've got a Windows Phone 8.1 app almost ready to go. I want to port it to tablet, iOS, Android. What would you recommend as an educational pathway to get good on these new platforms?
So if you have an 8.1 application, the first thing I would do is go and upgrade it to a UWP.
Yeah.
Right? It shouldn't be, you know, there is some work, you know, depending on, you know, the frameworks that you use, but it is a fairly straightforward port. We have some help out there. If you go on the website, you know, dev.win.com, there'll be way in ways to learn how to upgrade your application. But that's most the straightforward way, I think, to learn how to move to UWP.
So just sort of go project upgrade and see what's broken and go in there and get in there and code.
Exactly.
That's my favorite figuring stuff out. Here's another question from Matt. Any plans to support dynamic proxies in UWP?
That I don't know. I'd have to go check on the answer there. I'm not sure if we have any plans for that.
So he asked because he's asking about mocking and unit testing. Is there a way to do mocking and unit testing for UWP?
You can do some. It depends on the framework.
Sure.
But I think we're working to make it a little bit better.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about sort of the process of building a UWP application. Is it pretty much like any other process? You just start a new application and you build it? What are some of the considerations you have to make when you want to make it cross-platform?
The biggest thing there is choosing a language. You choose a language you want. We have flexibility there. And then you're just writing to the API set. And the API set is consistent, you know, with a lot of what we've been doing with the new frameworks. If you're using .NET, then C#, it's going to be very familiar to move over. We have it's fairly compatible. We've even made it, we've done some stuff in the last year or two to make sure that we have some of the frameworks that already existed on the desktop, and the APIs for Win32 are already there. So you can reuse a lot of your code.
I
don't know how many people are starting from scratch. In most cases, people are starting from something. Either they're starting from third-party frameworks that they're going in, open source that they're using, or they're starting from their own existing code, or a combination. And so I think that tends to dictate what you're going to go use to start your application.
So how do you, can you speak to the how you actually discover, am I on a phone, or am I on a Raspberry Pi 2, or am I on Xbox, or am I on, is there a way to do that, or how do you know what you can do?
So there's a couple things. One, there is an API to query it. We actually didn't have that originally because we have this paranoia. We've seen so much bad code written to that where they assume they know the three devices, and then the fourth one shows up, and they crash, or they don't handle it well. So we initially were hesitant, but we tried to do it in a way that was extensible and it was a bit more failure-proof. And then the other thing we do is base it on the device characteristics, not the processor or the device you're running on.
I see.
So look at the size of the screen. See if there's touch. See if there's mouse keyboard. Because what the device is will change over time. This is a whole continuum for phone. No one thought, am I on a desktop? No. You want to ask, am I a large screen with a mouse and a keyboard? Then I should act like a desktop. And so we're changing kind of the definition is what kind of input I'm using, what's my display type, and then maybe am I mobile. These are characteristics of the device versus I am a phone or I am a desktop or I am a HoloLens.
And that's interesting because you might optimize and say, I'm on a phone, therefore I need to look a certain way. But then you sort of negate that with Continuum because you don't look that certain way anymore.
Right. The thing that does come into it, we have found phone, and some people saw some early builds. We didn't optimize for one-handed touch. If you do just size and just touch in a tablet, it's not the same. A tablet's actually not the same as a phone because you have a thumb, and that tends to be narrower than if you have a tablet, you tend to be using your fingers. So we actually are looking at that too, is how do we give you hints of, hey, this is a one-handed device. This is a larger screen, but there's ways of looking. Hey, a small screen in most cases is going to be one-handed. A larger screen with touch is most likely going to be a tablet. So again, look at the characteristics, and that tends to be a way to optimize the experience for the end user.
And this is a really good way to sort of future-proof whatever kind of device comes out.
Absolutely.
You're just going to ask, hey, are you like, do you have this and this? Okay, we'll optimize for that.
Exactly.
All right, so Robin asked a question. Let's see if I can understand this. I don't know if I understand that.
I can answer this
one. Oh, all right. Well, why don't you reformulate the question? It's really large.
The question I think here is, will you be able to run Win32 desktop apps that currently run on a desktop on the phone when it's running in Continuum mode?
Got it.
It's something I think we're definitely looking at. I think it's very interesting. We've been asked about it a lot because that would give you the full fidelity desktop experience. Obviously, there are some challenges.
Yeah.
Robin brings up the x86 versus ARM. And those type of things, but it's definitely something that we've looked at and saying, hey, we really do want that full desktop experience, even with the Win32 older applications that aren't part of Universal Platform. Hey, some of those lighting up there would be nice too. So it's something we're looking at.
Yeah, and it's got to be hard. Like for example, if you have a traditional x86 desktop application that's looking at the registry, that's a problem.
Yeah, there's definitely those challenges. You don't really want your phone to become unstable. It's a bad thing. So that's why I said there's some challenges. It's definitely something we're interested in. But right now we're focused on the UWP as being the way it's really the most reliable way to build an application that can easily light up across all of our platforms.
Got it. So Matt has asked, with UWP, is there any use for portable libraries?
Absolutely. I think we showed that today. Yeah. What we did, I didn't actually call it out. I was supposed to. I missed that part.
That's okay. We'll call it out now.
Amanda called it out, which is when I factored the desktop app into the portable class library that I shared with my universal app, that's the same portable class library she used when using Xamarin and using Cordova to kind of light that library up on the other devices. So once you create that portable class library, you can actually bring that to other platforms using Xamarin, as well as share it between your desktop app and your UWP. And I always think it's good to factor your code. Like, to be honest with you, sometimes factor your code into reusable chunks is just a good way.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, you're going to want an app that kind of leverages it, but is slightly different.
All right, so another question. When you sideload an app for a line of business, for example, how do auto updates work? Can you specify another source for it to look for updates?
So if it's sideloaded, we don't provide an updating mechanism. You have to provide updating yourself. And so there really is no automatic update. That's kind of the value proposition of the store. One of the value propositions of the store is it keeps apps up to date. If you sideload an app that is also in our store, we will actually then keep it up to date. So if the idea being, hey, I want to be able to get sideloading as an alternative mechanism to deploying, then it's also in our store, we'll keep it up to date because we know the identity of the app and we'll know it's the same app that you sideloaded versus being in a store. So we'll know it's there, we'll keep it updated.
So it might be a way really quickly to get a bunch of things sideloaded onto your device. Say you're making 1,000 of them and you don't want to do it that way, definitely that's a good
Education does in some cases. They want to go provision some of their machines. They'll put the apps on there. And then we'll keep them updated versus everybody pounding the internet at the same time trying to download the apps. So it definitely works that way if it has the same identity.
All right. Another question. What is the strategy to support line of business applications in UWP and being able to launch UWP apps in different desktops?
I don't understand the second half of that question, but the first one is we want to fully support line of business applications. That's why we have the enterprise store, so you can put them in our store. We can sideload with enterprises. So we fully support line of business applications on our devices. I don't really understand the second part, launching in a different desktop.
So here's a question about sort of an enterprise. Let's say I'm in a closed enterprise and I want to build a UWP application that I only want available in my enterprise. What facilities do we provide for that?
The main way, if you really don't want the actual app anywhere, then you can provide sideloading. We also provide the enterprise store that allows you to publish it to the enterprise store, and it won't be visible to anybody else either.
What's the enterprise store? It's just like a special grouping of applications?
It's your enterprise. You can go publish to our store, and it will only be available to your enterprise.
And how do you check if someone actually forms part of the enterprise?
It's basically your enrollment process.
Okay.
And so it's through Azure ADD, I believe.
Okay.
It's through that. And you have to use Azure ADD to sign in, and then that your enterprise has, and then we'll have your identity from that.
Oh, that makes sense. So with Azure AD, you're able to sort of move your Active Directory users up to the enterprise store, and then you'll be able to check, can they even download this?
Exactly.
That's awesome. All right, another question. I want to develop my own, talked about this. I want to develop my own games for Xbox. Can this be done with Visual Studio, or how?
When we announce supporting Xbox with universal apps, yes, we'll be able to do that. There will likely be policy associated with games, just to make sure that we meet all the ratings and all the requirements of, the Xbox has a promise associated with it to make sure that we have games that are rated appropriately for everyone.
Okay.
So I do tell people, don't expect that there won't be a little bit more vetting of our processes going to that device. So each of our devices have a little bit of policy based on really the promise of that device. And so Xbox, clearly when you go to games, it's not that you can go publish any random game with no ratings and have fun like you might be able to do sometimes on other devices. But it is about being able to use the same technology, go through that process, and get your game into the store.
I like how UWP apps are sort of abstracting away the code, because code is going to be code pretty much the same. And now you have to start thinking about the device.
Yep.
Previously, we'd only think about the code and then be like, all right, I got to make this work somewhere else. Now you can sort of not think about it because it's going to work everywhere. And now you think about the device.
Right. It's really about running your business and which devices you want to go target.
Yeah.
Not from a,
even
because
better.
The code limited me,
yeah.
but because what's the right thing for my business,
right.
which are the most important for my customers. you know, and how they use it. And they use it probably differently on those devices. I showed that, it tried to show that it build last year, which was on every device, I wasn't really doing the same thing. It's not like every device is a cookie cutter. I could, if I wanted to, access things. But hey, when I'm on a mobile, I'm probably taking photos, I'm taking pictures of things, I'm taking snippets. Mm-hmm. When I'm on my desktop, I'm being more productive. So what I do in my app might be different, but I can build the same app and use it if I want to on any of those devices.
Awesome.
But optimize for the use of that device.
I like that. All right, so just a couple of last real quick questions, if you can quick fire these. Any plans to support React Native for UWP development?
It is not on my list, top 10 list, so you know maybe we will, but not in probably in the near term.
All right, Andre, any chance of having some nice XAML stuff from WPF, like, for example, style triggers in UWP?
We are constantly looking at XAML and what we can go do there and to improve it. We have a long list, and we're prioritizing it. I don't know if that specific one will make it, but we are definitely focused on making XAML awesome.
Okay. All right, finishing up, what do you have to say to developers when it comes to building UWP applications? What do you want them to know?
First of all, make sure when you're building them that you really think about the experience that you're giving to your customers. Don't just, fault it in there and say, oh, it'd be good for everyone. Build a great experience. And if you're struggling with that, let us know. We'll make sure we improve it. But really go look at the device and what the device's purpose is and make sure you build something that's great for the customer on that device. Our goal is to make it easy for you to go do that.
Where is the launch? Where should we go to get started?
dev.windows.com.
Man, that's so simple.
Make it easy.
All right. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, my friend. We're gonna usher you out, and we're going to have Amanda come on in. Thanks for being with us, bud. Let me shake your hand.
Thanks a lot.
And we'll see you next time. Take care,
bud.